Hey, DC, did you know that it's Arbor Week? And that means it's the perfect time to learn about and protect our trees. Local nonprofit Casey Trees is helping to protect our tree canopy by teaching kids the value of trees and working with them to plant new ones. The trees they're planting now ensure that future Washingtonians have a beautiful and healthy city. So support Casey Trees today by giving online at caseytrees.org/give. Your tax-deductible donation will go directly toward tree planting efforts in historically underserved communities, including schools in Wards 5, 7, and 8. Once again, that's caseytrees.org/give. Let's plant some trees, y'all! Today on CityCast DC, so what's going on with legal weed in Maryland? And what does this year's governor's race tell us about politics in the state more generally? There is a lot going on in Maryland, and luckily, I'm here with Hannah Gaskill, politics reporter at the Baltimore Sun, to help us understand everything you need to know ahead of the Maryland elections next week. It's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is CityCast DC. Hannah, thank you so much for being here.
Bridget, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Okay, so the governor's race in Maryland is looking to be a blowout, but, you know, in politics, stranger things have happened. Who are the candidates and what are they running on?
Right. You mentioned it looks like it's going to be a blowout. That favors Wes Moore, who is the Democratic candidate. He is an author and a former nonprofit founder. He has never held public office before, but he has a pretty good relationship with the other candidates at the top of the ticket, like Congressman Anthony Brown, who was Maryland's lieutenant governor under Martin O'Malley, Brooke Learman, who is rounding out her second term in the House of Delegates, and Aruna Miller, his running mate, who's served in the House as well.
Do you think that Wes Moore never having held public office is going to be something that hurts him in this race?
You know, I don't, because when you look at Dan Cox, I mean, he doesn't have a whole bunch of political experience either. He was a town council for a really small town on the Eastern Shore. He's a first term delegate, so he's just finishing his first term in the House. And he's held positions on Frederick County's Republican committee.
What is he running on?
Yeah, so Dan Cox is a Trump Republican. He's pretty conservative. I think his slogan is, "It's your freedom." So he is platforming on school choice, parental involvement in schools. He talks a lot about the economy and inflation.
It's funny because we've been doing all of these interviews to prepare folks for the election. And one of the things that comes up quite a bit is how Maryland and Virginia really have these races that seem to mirror kind of larger conversations happening nationally. So like, are citizens going to go for sort of the more Trumpy side or the less Trumpy side? You know, you were talking about Dan Cox really going for like parent choice and things like that. Like, do you see that happening in this race as well? Sort of it being a mirror of this sort of larger conversation happening nationally about the vibe of the country?
I mean, in a way, when I look at this election, it reads a lot to me like 2016, when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were the nominees. You know, Maryland is super Democratic, super blue. So I will never say never. But I mean, Wes Moore is like over 30% ahead of Dan Cox in the poll that the Baltimore Sun just put out this week. And election day is, gosh, less than 2 weeks away at this point.
Why are pollsters so sure that Wes Moore is going to win? And not just win by a landslide?
I mean, it depends on the electorate. Like I said, Maryland is super blue. Democratic voters outnumber Republicans 2-1 in Maryland. Not only that, but in order for a Republican to win, they would need to pull Democratic voters from the Democratic nominee and also independent voters. And I don't know that that's something that we're going to see happen this time.
Let's switch gears a little bit. So Senator Chris Van Hollen is up for re-election. He's a Montgomery County native. He's the incumbent. Montgomery County Rep. Jamie Raskin is also up for re-election. But in both of these cases, it kind of does not seem like they are really campaigning all that hard. You know, Chris Van Hollen's opponent does not even have a website. What do you think that says about the state of Maryland politics?
I feel like that's kind of par for the course this round. Like, if you look, for example, at, like, the Republican Attorney General nominee, Michael Perutka, like, I don't think he has a comms person.
I mean, so you say it's, like, why? Like, why is that the course this time around? Like, are people just kind of coasting? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, I think that we are seeing kind of a split between the establishment Republican Party and what the electorate is looking for. Like you mentioned, the split earlier, where we're seeing Maryland kind of reflect the national stage. So Republicans across the country are still in favor of Trump. We might see a head-to-head between Trump and DeSantis for 2024, but they're not super conventional politicians, you know, and neither is Dan Cox, neither is Michael Perutka. And it sounds like the candidates that you're talking about as well.
You know, we said earlier, this political cycle has been so strange and like stranger things have happened. It just feels like we're in this place where the original playbook kind of has to be thrown out because everything is so different now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when after 2016, everybody has kind of thrown up their hands and just is waiting to see what happens.
Let's talk about an issue that I know a lot of folks are very passionate about, legalizing weed. So Hannah, question four is all around legalizing weed. Can you tell us who is for it and who's against it?
More than half of Marylanders, Republicans and Democrats alike, are in favor of legalization. It's on the ballot. I think ballot questions oftentimes get kind of lost in the shuffle because when you're voting, you're just checking boxes and boxes and boxes. But this is a big deal. If it gets passed, weed wouldn't be legalized until, I believe, July of next year. But that gives the legislature time to set up the framework for what all of this is supposed to look like.
Do you have any sense of what is expected to happen with that vote?
I think everybody is kind of accepting the notion that it's going to pass. I believe it's like around 60% of Marylanders who are in favor of it.
I know there's like broad consensus in the area. What happens once it's approved? Like, is it just like I can go outside and buy and smoke marijuana and be fine? Like, what's the deal?
That's kind of complicated. So personal use marijuana would be legal. Like I said, in July, the General Assembly will come back in January and kind of iron out the missing details regarding regulation, taxation, and other social implications like record expungement, et cetera. So,
yeah, I was going to ask, in terms of record expungement, do you know if there's going to be recidivism after the fact for people who are currently in jail for marijuana possession?
I have no idea what the legislature is going to do, but it sounds like, at least based on the coverage that I've done, there is interest in finding a way to, I guess, to level the playing field, particularly for people who have served time in prison for something that is now legal. So
that's really good to know. Are there other races or issues on the ballot that you think voters should know about and be aware of?
Yeah, nobody knows what the comptroller is.
Okay, I have to admit, if you were to ask me, what does the comptroller do? I am not sure I could tell you. So for me and for other listeners like me who might not know, what is the comptroller?
Yeah,
tell us about that
so
race.
The comptroller is in charge of our taxes, essentially. Like they're the CFO of the state and they regulate taxes on gas and tobacco and alcohol and presumably marijuana, if it passes, I would assume. But they also serve on the Board of Public Works, which is a 3-person body. It's the comptroller, the governor, and the state treasurer. And they approve or deny huge contracts for like state procurement.
So this is a big deal. Like, this is where your tax money goes, and this is who collects it.
Okay, so pretty important. I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't know that before. Can you tell us a bit about who's running?
Yeah, for sure. Don't be embarrassed. Every time I say nobody knows who the comptroller is, inevitably one person is like, yeah, I guess I don't know what it is.
I'm sure I'm not alone to admit that I am one of those people.
So on the ballot, we have Brooke Learman. She's the Democratic nominee. She's finishing her second term in the House of Delegates. She has a pretty progressive track record. She's done things with education and the environment. And I think the way that I see her talk about her platform, it feels like she wants the comptroller's office to be a more hands-on position, to be able to not enact policy or affect policy, but to be able to, I guess, change the way that Maryland functions without necessarily having to go through the legislature. So her platform revolves around eliminating the racial equity gap and the environment, transportation reform. All of these things are things that I think she has the ability to do with our tax dollars. And she's running against Barry Glassman, who is the Harford County executive. He has like 30 years of experience in state politics. He's endorsed by Larry Hogan. Brooke is endorsed by our current comptroller, Peter Franchot. So it's a toss-up, you know? I think it's going to be the closest race. But like I said, I don't think that anyone's in particular trouble here. I think she was still ahead of him in our poll by like 25+%.
Hannah Gaskill, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to talk to you again once we know how all these races shake out.
Yeah, we'll see you on November 9th. But thank you for having me, Bridget. I really appreciate it.
Yo, and thank you for teaching me what a comptroller does.
That's my job.
And before you go, here's some quick news. Election updates first, keeping with our theme. Officials in Fairfax County are scrambling to process more than 11,000 voter registrations that were missing. The uncounted applications are from people who registered this summer at the Department of Motor Vehicles. And if you're worried, you can check your voter registration status on the online portal, but you can also register same day at any voting or early voting location. Meanwhile, D.C. Council is considering delaying its COVID vaccine mandates for students. Chair Phil Mendelson pointed out that D.C. is one of only three jurisdictions in the country with a COVID vaccine requirement for kids. And Axios D.C. reported that this discussion comes as enthusiasm for the boosters is generally pretty low. Only 6.5% of D.C. residents have even gotten the latest jab. Also, we've got some end-of-the-season updates from our city soccer team. D.C. United midfielder Taxi Fontes will be allowed to play in the 2023 season after an investigation into his possible use of a racial slur during a match was found to be credible but not provable. But, separate bad news for the team, it's been fined $25,000 for failing to comply with the league's diversity hiring policy. Clubs are required to interview diverse candidates, and DC United was found to be negligent. It denies that accusation. And lastly, great news for caffeine fiends like myself. DC is getting its very first canned, ready-to-drink espresso martini called Blossom. The creator, David Jack, is one of the people behind Residence Cafe and Bar. If Blossom is anything like the espresso martini at Residence, I am all in. That's all for today here on CityCast DC. Virginia voters, our episode for you was out yesterday. Our DC guide is next, so keep a lookout for that. And let us know if there are any burning election questions that you still need answered. You can email us at dc@citycast.fm. Bye for now.